This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Final hour of Ben and Woods featuring Sam Levitt this morning on 97.3 The Fan. Sam was just asking, do you guys eat breakfast before you come in? And my answer is no.
Yeah.
But Pauly sometimes eats. Woods usually eats during the show. So either brings in a banana or just like...
I'll bring like a cup of yogurt that I can take down quickly before the show starts. Yeah. Woods eats... pretty frequently between commercial breaks.
It's hard. It's very early. I mean, 5 a.m. is early to eat. I stopped at a local coffee shop. Got a little pound cake type item, cup of coffee.
That's fine. When you're coming in once, absolutely treat yourself to something cool for being up this early in the morning.
It's early.
A pastry item. If you do it every single morning and you treat yourself to, you know, a giant muffin... well, that's just not going to be good for your health anymore.
Right. Well, it's just so early. Like,
it's very early.
I'd rather sleep for another 15, 20 minutes than get up 15, 20 minutes earlier and like make eggs and breakfast and all that. And it's just, I'll just deal with it.
This is not hard for me because I'm an early riser, but 5 is pretty early. Like, I'm early riser like 6 hours,
you know,
6
some, a.m. They always say, are you a morning person or kind of an evening person? And I finally realized I'm neither. I don't really like getting up in the morning, but I don't like staying up late at night either. So what does that leave you? Am I not even a person? Am I an afternoon person? No, I'm usually very tired in the afternoon as well. So, by the way, there's my sister with Fergie.
Hey, there we go. Somebody commented that Fergie's no longer in the Black Eyed Peas. Is that true?
I don't think she is. I don't know.
Oh, I didn't know.
So if you're going up to SoFi Stadium specifically to see them perform at halftime, no promises as to the construction of the group anymore.
We were talking right after we went to commercial. I mean, they did do a Super Bowl, so it's gone from Super Bowl to halftime
of a high school football game. I mean, how does, Vanilla Ice go from being the biggest act on the planet to doing, like, 80s novelty shows or 90s novelty shows? That's fame for you.
But this high school thing is at SoFi, so it must
be
pretty big.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
Okay, so maybe it's bigger than what we're...
Well, yeah, but they're not... I mean, they're not A-list.
I have not been to that stadium. Have you been to that stadium?
No.
I haven't been. Have you been?
For a concert, yeah.
Taylor Swift?
Yeah. Was not. I haven't been to a game there, but it's pretty cool.
I just, I had a dinner last night. One of my friends from college that lives here, him and his girlfriend, they are going to the Taylor Swift show this weekend in New Orleans, which will be cool.
Got some bad. Before we get to the, that's all right. Before we get to the arrival report,
I'm sure they're going to have a great time.
A little bad news that I just saw.
It was uninteresting.
Yeah. From the UT, if you're a San Diego State basketball fan, just reported that Reese Waters, one of the few returning players to the Aztecs, has a stress fracture and is going to be out at least 6 to 8 weeks. Perhaps
San Diego and stress
fractures. Yes, I mean we saw how. What a struggle it was to get Fernando Tatis Jr., and he just had a stress reaction.
Yeah.
This is an actual stress fracture, a navicular bone stress fracture, and that is tough. I mean, he was going to be one of the veteran returning presences on this team, and now at the best-case scenario, you might get him back for conference play, but he's going to miss all these games against the ranked opponents where you build your resume early in the season, including the tournament that Paulie's going to over Thanksgiving in Las Vegas, which they announced yesterday has changed its format.
Just a little bit.
Now, they're going to still play the first two games as scheduled, but then the last game is now all of a sudden going to be like a championship game based on how you do in the first two games. So they could face a different team. They won't face Texas A&M, essentially, in their third game. We'll face Alabama or, I think, Oklahoma or one of the other teams that are there in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Minor change, really, but they did announce that yesterday. But some bad news for the Aztecs this morning.
Yeah, and there are a lot of new faces on that Aztec team, too. I mean, a lot of turnover from a year ago, so it's not great.
I mean,
you know, you're
enough good new faces that they beat UCLA in a closed-door scrimmage on Sunday, but... You know, that was without Reese Waters.
Right.
So you can't say, well, they have no hope now. They certainly do have good, talented players, but this is definitely a blow to San Diego State and Brian Dutcher.
Sammy, have you been to an Aztec basketball game?
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. Last year I went a couple times. My first basketball season here, I went quite a bit. Yeah.
Nice.
It's fun. Great.
All right. I've got a couple Padres topics I want to get to with Sammy in the later part of this hour. But right now, Paulie's got some headlines. It is time for the Rondle Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rondle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rondle Report with Paul Rondle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rondle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. You want to do any more Matthew McConaughey impressions, Ben?
No. Was that in the Rondle Report yesterday?
When we did it was that? Right. It was just after the.
Just Rondle after that.
Report.
Yeah. No. I'll pass. I do those
for
Woods.
Right,
that's
right.
It. All right.
We will start off in Major League Baseball. I saw this story this morning, and it surprised me. So. Told you a few weeks ago that the fan who caught Shohei Ohtani's home run ball to put him in the 50-50, the historic 50-50 club, it was consigned with Golden Auctions, sports memorabilia company, and the auction is closed. And Shohei Ohtani's 50-50 ball set a record, shattered the record for a home run baseball. It went for $4.392 million.
Wow.
And it's the most expensive home run ball in the history of the sport. And I thought, yeah, that was a very momentous occasion. It was historic for sure. Is that ball really more valuable than, like, Barry Bonds' home run ball?
Aaron Judge's from Aaron just Judge, a couple years
yeah,
ago.
What was it, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Like, I was a little bit surprised. I know things get more expensive and valuable over time. So I don't even remember what happened with the Barry Bonds ball originally. I guess if that were to hit auction today, maybe it would surpass Ohtani's amount. But yeah, $4.4 million for Ohtani's home run ball. Surprised me.
That's insane. I mean, I'm not a collector, so I wouldn't pay anything. But let me ask you guys this, just quickly. 50-50 club. Very impressive. Who was the first member of the 40-40 club? Right away. Who?
Was it?
Barry Bonds.
Who? No.
Pete
No. See, I would Willie imagine Mays. In 20 years, you may not know the answer to this question of the 50-50 club either, and you've got a $4.4 million ball to commemorate something that is not that, I mean, you know, it's easier to steal bases now. Obviously, it was impressive. I just don't know why there's value for that particular ball.
I guess it's because it's Ohtani.
He hit four more home runs. He stole nine more bases after that. 54-59.
Jose Canseco,
1988. First member of
the
40-40 club. I wonder what that 40th home run ball is worth today.
Right.
I guarantee you it's not worth $4.5 million. It just isn't. So, yeah, if someone wants it, I guess it's worth what they're willing to pay for it, but to me, that's not a winning investment for the collectible market.
You a collector at all?
No,
Sammy?
Not at all.
No,
I don't get a kick out of stuff like that. Like what are you going to do with the ball? I mean, it's going to sit there in a.
I mean, I would have sold that sucker as soon as possible.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have cared to
make the money
hold
off
on
it.
To that one.
Yeah,
I collect a few things here and there that I come across over the years. But it's very, it's got to have like some serious sentimental value to me. Other than like, I got a couple of baseball cards that are, you know, protectors. But
there's
like,
a
whole market.
Yeah, there's a whole world out there of collectibles and baseball cards and these breakers and stuff. I don't get it.
It's
but
a full-on
if people
side
like
gig.
It, they like it. Yeah.
When we were cleaning out the garage the other day, I found two signed Randy Jones baseball cards. I did keep those.
George says, what are your favorite collectibles? I don't know that either of you even have one. I'll tell you mine. You guys remember the Marshawn Lynch phenomenon with Skittles?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a signed pack of Skittles from Marshawn Lynch.
That's pretty
good. Got to meet him one time, and we went to 7-Eleven on the way and got a pack of Skittles and have it signed. That's my favorite.
I have a signed check from a restaurant by Mike Piazza. From a place called Rayo's in
check.
New York.
Would he pay for his meal with a check?
No. Like the bill. The bill.
The bill, not a check. Yeah.
That's unique.
It is unique.
That's cool.
It's a unique story as to how it
very
got
that. Darren Rovell of you right there.
Yes. I know Darren quite well, actually.
Do you?
Yes, I do. Fellow Northwestern Wildcat.
Yeah.
All right.
leave it there.
Ben's got nothing. You have championship rings in your possession.
I have a world championship ring. That's a sentimental value. I don't wear it.
Oh. And real value, by the way.
Yeah. Have we ever talked about this? How I have an Astros World Series ring?
No, we have not. We both have a championship ring. You have the tainted championship ring.
Yes.
Really?
A real one?
It has my name on it.
Your name on it? Because you were part of the Astros organization in the minor leagues.
Wow. Corpus Christi 2017.
For Corpus Christi.
Yes, we can get into it. Yes.
That's really cool.
Huh.
Yes. Well, literally everybody in the organization.
I'm not holding you responsible for trash can banging. I really don't think Sammy calling games at AA Corpus Christi? Had much to do with
it was
the sign stealing scandal,
right? And I received it well before all that came out.
Sure,
it was pretty cool. Yeah.
Is it the same as the one the players?
No,
got?
No, it's not.
Doesn't have 732 diamonds.
There were some different
rubies
tiers to
and
it.
Stuff. Okay,
but they literally got, and it was very nice. You know, they got literally everybody who worked for the organization, top to
that
bottom.
Is classy.
It was very nice.
That's classy.
Yes. So.
All right, we'll move on. NBA broadcast yesterday. We had a very awkward moment in the Lakers-Timberwolves game. You know, we do have, whether it's a radio show or a sports broadcast of any sort, a lot of times you gotta pay the bills, a little housekeeping. You have sponsor liners to read. We read several throughout our show every morning.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And so yesterday, opening night, and it was game two of opening night. So the broadcasters for the Lakers-Timberwolves game, they had a lot from the offseason that they kind of wanted to address throughout the game. And they were talking about the passing, the recent passing of Hall of Famer Dikembe Mutombo. Mm. And, well, one of the other broadcasters had to make sure that they got this liner in.
Four-time Defensive Player of the Year, matching Mutombo and Wallace.
Of course, the NBA world just had a tough loss with Dikembe Mutombo's passing.
NBA on TNT, brought to you by the Kia Telluride X-Line. Kia, the official automotive partner of the NBA.
Oh, that's Ian Eagle.
Yeah, that was terrible news in regards to Dikembe, who's been such an ambassador of the game in addition to his Hall of Fame career. He's meant so much to the game of
good recovery, Ian.
Now, was there a video to that? Did they flash?
They probably put put it on the screen.
So
once
me,
it's on there,
on a,
the producer.
That's on the producer. Yeah.
That was Stan Van Gundy, who brought up Dikembe Mutombo, yeah. And then Ian Eagle, who was doing the play-by-play, and obviously got a cue in his ear. All right, it's time for the promo. It's on the screen.
Exactly.
Now you've got to read the copy that goes with it. And he got caught in an awkward moment. But
you'll see it in an NBA broadcast. They're shooting free throws.
Very cringy. Very cringy.
So it's kind of the zoomed out camera from the corner as they're getting ready to shoot the next free throw. And then, yes, the Kia TNT Sports like overlay popped up on the screen. And it was just so awkward.
Of course, the NBA world just had a tough loss with Dikembe Mutombo's pass.
Boom.
NBA on TNT, brought to you by the Kia Telluride X-Line. Kia, the official automotive partner of the NBA.
Now, it also may be on Stan Van Gundy, who knows, may have been warned that, Ian's got this read coming up.
Could have been.
Don't bring up the passing of Dikembe Mutombo right there.
It also, had Stan not jumped in, it would have felt a little less awkward because then Ian could have quickly done the read and got right back into it.
It was very awkward.
That being said, I love both Ian Eagle and Stan Van Gundy, two of my absolute favorites.
Ben loves Ian Eagle more than
I love Ian. I'm with you.
Ian Eagle. His kid's pretty good too. Yeah, nepotism, but
Ben's been
trying
to get Noah Eagle on our show for like 5 years.
I know.
We had
Ian on a long time ago, didn't we?
Really?
Yeah.
Ian's great.
Yeah.
Right.
And Stan, I've had on before too. He's fantastic.
He's really
good. Of the Van Gundys, and I like them both. Stan is actually my favorite.
Hmm.
All right, and finally, we'll wrap it up. American Airlines is going to be trying something out where they will be shaming passengers if you break the rules. Have you ever boarded a plane? And I don't know exactly. I don't remember how American Airlines boarding goes, but I do fly Southwest occasionally. And, it's like, let's say you're in group C32, right? And they're calling all the B passengers, group B.
Right.
If you've ever seen a guy kind of just wedge himself into the line, and he's probably not in the B group, but he's going to try it anyways, like, what are they going to really do, right? They're going to scan your ticket. They might even give you a look, but they're going to let you just walk onto the plane. So to prevent people from jumping the line while boarding planes, American Airlines has a new system where if you try to board before your group is called, as soon as your ticket is scanned and you are not when you're supposed to be boarding the plane, a loud alert will go off as they scan your boarding pass, and the agent will tell you, please step aside, sir.
Shaming people
into following the rules.
I don't like this.
So
it's not that big of a deal.
I guess I understand that people want to get on the plane earlier for what? Overhead bin space?
Because I think so. Because when you have American Airlines,
if I have an assigned seat, I want to be the last one on the plane. Like, why do I want to spend extra time in that tiny airline seat unless I need bin space?
The overhead bin space is important.
But, one of the best things sometimes is the old gate check when you don't have to pay for it. And they say, hey, do you need this? Not really. And they say, all right, we'll just hand it to you when you get off the plane, as opposed to putting it in the overhead bin. I'm fine with that. So I'm not in a hurry to get on the plane to begin with. Unless it's Southwest, which is open seating, which they're not going to do anymore. And then, of course, you have to go in order, A1 to A60.
Now, when you do the gate check, you don't get worried that they're going to lose the bag?
Terrible. No, I think you're more likely to lose it on the actual baggage claim.
Longer
check.
Distance, more hands to go through.
Yeah,
I kind of agree with that. That's a good point. Because I get nervous because then it just seems like you went out of the usual protocol. They don't scan it. They give you a little
it's
tag.
It's part of the protocol now, though. Yeah. I mean,
either way. Has it ever lost luggage?
No.
Yeah.
I've not. Knock on
it's
wood.
It's a bad feeling when the conveyor stops and he goes, oh,
never
it hasn't come
that.
Out yet. It hasn't come out. It's usually because it's not lost. I don't think it was lost particularly. I had like a really fast connection, like doing travel for work one time, and we were like had 15 minutes to get from our plane to the next plane because the first one was delayed. Like, our bags are never going to make it onto the flight. And they didn't. I was not surprised that they did not appear at the end.
Seems like flying is something we can improve in a lot of different areas. Like, why is there not enough bin space? Why can't we create planes that have more bin space?
I kind of understand why that
is. Why do we check into hotels at like 4 p.m., but you have to check out by like 11?
We had that discussion earlier. Because they need time to clean the room. Was that off the air?
I think it was off the air. Woods was losing his
mind. Woods was losing his mind about check-in times and check-out times.
It's the biggest scam in the world! I'm like, I don't know about that.
Couldn't they clean overnight and have it ready for
Well, then they can't sell the room that night.
Somebody was using it the night before.
If you're a hotelier,
you want the night. I got
you
it.
Want
you're
to be able to
leave at 6 a.m.
Theoretically sell every room every night, which means
it's about the night.
You need to be able to turn that room over so you have new people coming in later that day.
But maybe you should have the option.
Now, they do at most hotels. If it's not a busy night, they will let you check out late or check in early if your room is ready. But if they're at full capacity, I do understand the need to have at least, 3 or 4 hours where housekeeping can, they have to get into every room and flip it over by that time. So I get that. I totally do.
All right. Somebody in the chat said, it seems like Woods loses his mind over a lot of things.
That is true.
Also very true.
All right. We will come back. I've got some Padres questions for Sammy Levin.
Okay.
One involving payroll, one involving Ha-Sung Kim.
That's a good one, the Kim one.
We'll get to that coming up after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some from my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Paulie, when you brought up an airplane story on the Rindle Report, I thought you were going to go in a different direction because we had a story last night on 10 News that was going viral, like around the world. I don't know if either of you guys saw this, but at an airport in New Zealand, Dunedin Airport in New Zealand, they've sparked a debate because they have put up a sign that says max hug time.
Oh,
I did see a headline about
so
that.
So it's when you're like dropping people off at the airport and saying goodbye. They've found that people are
people
taking
that are
too long.
For 3 minutes. That's a long time
to say goodbye with their hugs. And they said, if for fonder farewells, please use the car park, the parking lot. Like don't just idle here for 5 minutes while you're saying it's.
I think
hugs is essentially, you know, a euphemism for long goodbyes.
Goodbye
and
time.
Standing there and talking and whatever. Like, please either drop your person off and let them go within 3 minutes or, you know.
I could get a lot accomplished in 3 minutes. I can't imagine just hugging someone for 3 minutes,
I can't, you know. It's awkward for me in just a few seconds.
Yeah, I'm quick out of there. Yeah.
A three-second hug would kill you, Ben.
Yes, exactly.
A three-minute
hug? Yeah, it would be.
You wouldn't make it.
No chance. In fact, if Woods was here, this next 3 minutes until the break would be spent hugging to see if I could just stand it for 3 minutes. So I'm kind of glad that he's at Disneyland today because I don't think Sammy's going to make me hug him.
I don't. For I'm three like, minutes. I'm like you. I'm not a big physical touch person.
You guys. I know. Woods will like to, if he was here, he would delve into why. He would like pick away at the psychology behind it. What happened as a child? Something happened at camp while you would lay down
on a therapy couch
for 8 weeks and, you know,
tell us all about it.
Get the whole experience. I will spare you from that this morning, Sammy. I do want to ask you about some Padres talk. And I want to get into, you know, payroll questions. I was listening to Annie and Elston and Craig. As he can be, you know, kind of brutally honest sometimes, which I think is actually one of his best qualities. It may rub people the wrong way sometimes, but pointed out, just as a fact, that the Padres can't even bring back last year's team without going well over the luxury tax number. If you just wanted to bring back Jurickson Profar and Kyle Higashioka, and even if you say, okay, Tanner Scott, that's fine, great, rental, he's gone. Even to sign Jurickson, Kyle, even if they both sign fairly team-friendly deals, you're already blowing past the first luxury tax level number based on arbitration numbers and players that are coming back. So, you know, running it back, a lot of people, when you don't win the World Series, they're looking for you to make what? Roster improvements. Okay, well, we didn't win it this year. What can we do to improve our roster? And the Padres are in a situation where if they want to remain, you know, at or under the luxury tax level, they can't improve their roster.
Right.
They can't even bring back the same roster. They'd be bringing back a lesser roster. So I want to take a time out. When we come back in our last segment, I want to ask you what you think the Padres can accomplish and still sell to the fans, like in this offseason. Like, okay, here's why we still can win next year, even though we didn't go out and, you know, bring in any big-time free agents.
think the question is does different necessarily mean lesser?
Right. That's good. That's a good way to put it.
That's going
to
be the question.
All right, we'll get to that coming up next. Ben and Sam on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Padres put out a tweet this morning, mourning the passing of legendary pitcher and former Padre Fernando Valenzuela. We talked about it earlier in the show today, but definitely more associated with the Dodgers, but was really a good, fun Padre at the end of his career. 1995, 1996, when he helped the Padres overcome the Dodgers and win the National League West. Really fun moment. I think he pitched in that last series at Dodger Stadium that they swept the Dodgers as well to take the division title that year, and then part of 1997, and I think he retired after that season. But yeah, while he's more of a Dodger, definitely had a good little run with the San Diego Padres as well, and it's a sad loss for baseball today.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier, his impact and how far it went, and obviously, Mexican and all of it. So, yeah, very sad. And again, we went over the numbers earlier, the 81 season, unbelievable. What he did very early in that 81 season, unbelievable. So somebody that had a huge impact, obviously, here in Southern California and well beyond.
I had forgotten his son, Fernando Valenzuela Jr., was also a Padres minor leaguer for a while as a first baseman in the organization. I don't think he ever got to the big leagues, but he was actually part of the Padres organization as well. All right, Sammy Levinson, we got Padres and salary talk here for the last few minutes of the show before Annie and Elston coming up right after traffic on 97.3 The Fan. I'm going to start with this comment in our YouTube chat because, Paul, this could be a plant. It's such a perfect way to kick us off here. Paul writes, 2 minutes ago, what's the deal with Ha-Sung Kim? He's a terrific player and, from all accounts, a popular fella inside the ball club, but surely we can't afford to pay him a ton of greenbacks when he's sidelined. I mean, that's like almost AI-generated perfect to kick off this conversation. Yeah. And, I also heard Annie and Elston talking about Ha-Sung Kim yesterday. We talked about it. How that was one of the things that surprised me when A.J. Preller mentioned that.
I thought it was the biggest actual news.
His recovery might take him into May, June, or even July labrum surgery. His impending free agency into a different light and what they might do. You know, Paulie made the argument, hey, you don't hire Scott Boras if you're just not planning to go to free agency at all. But I think there is now a world in which the Padres might be interested in picking up what is, I believe, a $7 million option,
yes.
Mutual option on Ha-Sung Kim. And I think there's a world in which he may want to accept that as well and try to go for free agency next year. And while there's a risk, obviously on both sides, that's why it's possible, Sammy, when there's a risk on both sides, then you can kind of find middle ground. If one side's taking all the risk, then why would you do it?
Right.
But the Padres would be taking a risk knowing we may only have a couple of, good months of Ha-Sung Kim at the end of the season. We're paying, in a budget that is strained already, $7 million. Ha-Sung Kim's going, I have to wait a whole year for free agency again. Who knows what it's going to be? Do I want to do that? But it's $7 million guaranteed. And I made the point. The Padres are going to owe Ha-Sung Kim at least $2 million no matter what. If they decline the option, he gets a $2 million. So essentially, you're talking about a difference of $5 million.
Right.
The player that I would compare him the most to, though, happens to be the guy who just won the National League Championship Series MVP award. Tommy Edman did not play at all until August this last season. Was injured the entire year and then was traded by the Cardinals to the Dodgers at the deadline and still has had an outsized impact on the Dodgers season and the playoffs. I could see a similar path for Ha-Sung Kim, either with the Padres, not playing for a few months, but having a really outsized impact the last few months of the season and the playoffs. Or, guess what? If things aren't going great for the Padres, he could be next year's Tommy Edman at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
A guy at a premium position who can play shortstop, who then comes in and helps a contender down the stretch. And if the cost essentially is $5 million for that, you can buy some good prospects for that money if you're trading him, or you're buying a really good player that you're adding for the second half of the season at a somewhat reasonable price next year.
I think Ha-Sung at his best for $5 million, even if you have him for a portion of the season, let's say at latest that's June, right? Sometime in June. I think there's great value.
I think Ha Sung's a better player than Tommy Edman, in my mind. I mean, yes, everyone's on the Tommy Edman train right now.
It's hard because he's played so well.
Over the last few years, I give Ha Sung Kim the edge.
With you. Yeah. I find the whole Kim situation really interesting because from the Padres' perspective, you have to now factor in something that I, to be honest, until AJ said it the other day, I didn't realize. Did you realize it was going to be such a lengthy recovery? Maybe I wasn't familiar enough with what a labrum surgery is.
I wasn't either. I thought, oh, I'm sure he'll be fine.
That surprised me. That surprised me. So from the Padre perspective, that's interesting. From Kim's perspective, I think it's interesting too. Let's say he was a free agent. How does A, coming off a down year, affect his free agency, and B, the fact that he's coming off a surgery? I don't know. He's in a much different spot than he was a year ago.
Well, Adam Klug in our chat says Ha Sung Kim would be crazy to accept an additional $5 million with his option. Remember, if he turns down the option, he gets that $2 million as well.
Right.
Which so he's only getting $5 million more. I think what you're really looking at, if you're Ha Sung Kim, what kind of offers are you going to get right now? With, you know, the shoulder surgery, still recovering from it, teams that don't know you the way the Padres do, are they willing to offer you a 4-year giant deal knowing, you know, well, we trust that the last 3+ years he's going to be healthy? Or would you make more than that extra $5 million or whatever the difference would be by waiting a year, proving you're healthy, and really hitting the market with some momentum next year?
And a market that you don't know what it's going to look like, because we saw last year it was really weird. I mean, bottom line, it was really weird, and guys that you thought would make quite a bit more money and get quite a bit more years just didn't get it. So I think that's part of it, too, what they anticipate the market to be. My other question is this. I just wonder if there is a world where the Padres look at the Kim situation, even though it's only $5 million, and they look at it and they say, we've got Xander Bogaerts to play shortstop. We can give Xander another year of playing short, and he's going to be our starting shortstop. For next year, you have Cronenworth who can play second. You have Arise who can play first, and you use that $5 million towards other pieces.
Yeah, Adam, you have an infield
right now, even without Kim.
The domino effect. Adam came in and said, well, you know, if you bring back Ha Sung Kim, that pushes Xander back to second.
Right.
Jake to first, and Arise to designated hitter. We know Luis Arise doesn't want to be a full-time designated hitter. It also closes the door, as you said, you know, picking someone else up that can be a part of a lineup.
And are you going to flip-flop Xander back to second next? I don't know.
Get at-bats. Maybe the simpler solution is simply Xander at short, Jake at second, and Luis Arise at first next season. It's not your best defensive construction by any stretch of the imagination, and it also leaves you pretty vulnerable to injuries.
Yeah, will need somebody else that can play first base competently.
Arise, who's had an injury-filled season. Bogaerts, who's had two injury-filled seasons. Jake's been durable, but, you know, you're one hit batsman away in the hand from being out for 2 months in Major League Baseball, and right now you don't have a Donovan Solano. I mean, you can try to bring him back, but again, that's part of the salary and luxury tax question, that just bringing back these same guys who are all going to want more. Jurickson Profar is going to want a raise. Ha Sung Kim's going to want a raise. Donovan Solano, not going to be expensive, but he's going to want a raise. Kyle Higashioka is going to want a raise. David Peralta is going to want a raise. By the time you just bring back those guys,
can Arise, Cease, and King are making all more.
By the time you just do that, you're almost pushing the second luxury tax level, which is another like $20 million above the $240 one that it's going to be next year. And now you're getting into even more severe penalties. Again, as a fan, I don't care as much about the penalties, but I promise you, there's no owner in baseball. Even the Yankees and Dodgers owners care somewhat about the luxury tax penalties.
Yeah.
It's one thing paying money for your players. It's another essentially lighting it on fire and going, all right, I just signed this guy for $5 million, but it's going to cost me another $3 in luxury tax money. That's not going to my minor leaguers. It's not going to my infrastructure. It's not going to ballpark improvements. It's not going to an extra reliever. It's simply money I'm essentially lighting on fire. Now, they don't light it on fire. They send it to the league office.
Right.
God knows what they do at the Christmas party for Rob Manfred. I have no idea what happens with that luxury tax money. I'm sure it's in a pool that does something. But it doesn't help the Padres at all to send that money anywhere else. And I'd rather obviously, if I'm spending money, I want to be investing it in my players and my organization and not writing a check to Rob Manfred for nothing at all.
I think there are two key questions, and you alluded to both of them. Number one, what is the payroll, and how, if you're going above the tax, how far are you going above, considering you reset it this year? That was the goal, to reset it this year. And number two, what do you do with that money, and how does AJ Preller work in whatever constraints he has?
Is there AJ's always talking about the 5-year plan.
Yeah.
Is there a path where you can kind of alternate years, where you go over and then you come back under? Like next year, what kind of flexibility might the Padres have salary-wise? Eric Hosmer comes off the books. That's a easy $12.5 million right there that you no longer have to account for. You may or may not re-sign.
But you could invest in the Digging Deep podcast.
Yeah, you could. You may or may not re-sign.
We already have.
Dylan
like
Cease.
3 years.
You know, that, if you don't re-sign Dylan Cease, you lose obviously a big pitcher, but...
Yeah.
You know, 15
King,
million.
Yes.
You know, you could have a lot of money coming off the books.
Yes, you could.
You know, in some ways, the trade deadline is going to be one of the more difficult ones coming up this next year, especially if the Padres are right on the fringe.
Wow.
Because, you know, AJ always wants to go for it. But if you know you can't afford a lot of these players in 2026, you're going to want to get stuff for guys like Dylan Cease and Luis Arraez before they hit free agency, and you can't afford to bring them back if you
right.
want to stay under the luxury tax.
I agree with you. I think if they are hovering around a playoff
right.
spot or
now,
around 500.
If they're in first place, you go for it.
Right.
And try
the
to win
counter
a World
to
Series.
That is, I think right now, without knowing what the full roster looks like, and I think you would agree, I think the expectations are going to be a lot higher than that. Coming out of spring training, been hovering around 500 playoff spot.
Padres?
Even without knowing what this roster looks like, the pieces that are, you know,
you mean
are
we're not going to sit around here in February and March and
so.
Go, yeah, 82 wins is probably fine.
No,
of course they're going to be higher this year. Yeah, if the Padres are going to try to, there's no way you can lower expectations, so don't even try. Our expectations are raised,
so,
and rightfully so.
Positioned to sell at the deadline. That means things went pretty wrong.
That's a good point.
Yes.
But
I hope they're not.
That also means you could get really, really expensive in 2026. If you want to keep those guys coming back again, Dylan Cease is going to get a giant deal, you know, from the Padres or elsewhere. Michael King is going to get a giant deal. I don't think Luis Arraez is going to get a giant deal, but he's going to get a decent deal.
But just because guys are going to walk at the end of the year doesn't mean you have to trade them.
No, we've seen the Padres let guys, plenty of guys walk. They let all their guys walk after 2023.
Well, to be honest with you, like when there are a number just in my three seasons that I can think of guys that were going to be free agents, whether it was Kim, whether it was Snell, whether it was whomever, so even Soto, who was coming up on it after this season. There was always clamoring to extend. When are we going to extend? And I always thought about it, like, sometimes you don't extend, and even for a guy that might be homegrown, they get to free agency and they walk, and you lose him and you go get somebody else, and you spend
the
money elsewhere.
It's the Bill Belichick heartless, like, school of player personnel decisions. Get the most you can out of players while they're in their prime, and then walk away, whether it's not signing them or trading them, before they start declining and aging. Hasn't been the AJ Preller school. He's locked guys up, you know, from
Correct.
Now until the end of time, and he's trying to create a core. I mean, and he's trying to create excitement, and he's been immensely successful in creating buzz, bringing people to the park, and putting a contender on the field. But you can't always simply, your only strategy be to sign guys to state-of-the-art $300 million contracts for 10 to 15 years. You have to have other players that are performing at, you know, cheap salaries and, you know, team-controlled deals to go with those players. And if you just let every free agent walk, you won't be reloading your farm system.
Right.
One way to do that is with trades and, you know, sending out higher-priced
right.
players to bring in prospects and lower-priced players to go around the guys you have already locked up. You know, Xander Bogaerts, Fernando Tatis, and Manny Machado aren't going anywhere. The goal should be to put as many good players around those guys as possible, but they're going to have to be somewhat affordable because they keep those guys continue to get more expensive as these contracts go on.
To me, no matter what that final number is payroll-wise and how far they're going to either not go or go over the tax, to me, it's a very similar offseason to last year for AJ. Like, he's going to have to hit. He hit really, really well on so many guys last year, and he's going to have to hit again. Look, Profar is a fascinating one, okay? I don't know. What's he going to get? Is somebody going to walk up to him and say, here's 4 years, $60 million? I don't know. Maybe.
Then but you let him go.
Yeah, I mean, but then you need a left field. I mean, you're going to have to find a starting left fielder. There are some scenarios where you're left with some holes that you're going to have to fill with not maybe a ton of money to
and,
do it.
And so you traded away most of your in-house candidates
for that
job.
Right.
Not that any of them were going to be any good,
right.
But your Marcy's and your
Martirellas
are all gone.
From a money standpoint, they got such great – that look, that was the top – example of getting so much value from a guy that you are barely paying. He's going to have to probably do a little bit of that again, get tons of value from somebody you are not paying a lot.
And a conversation that I'll have with Woods, because we're kind of out of time when he comes back. I think you have to listen this offseason. If someone is willing to overpay for a Dylan Cease, you have to listen to that because it might make your team better.
It's fair. Yeah.
Overall,
it's fair.
To make that deal. You can't just say, no, we can't lose an ace. We have pitching issues already. You have to listen.
It's fair.
Sammy, you're an ace.
Sammy, unbelievable. Enjoy the rest
Thanks
of your offseason. We'll see
Thank
you in February.
Thank you for having me.
Or probably a little bit before.
I bet I'll be back on.
Annie and Elston are coming up next for Paul Reindel. I'm Ben Higgins. Woodsy, have a great time at Disneyland. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.